Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Well, here's my question for you today. Have you noticed what in your life tends to block your view of God or your sense of His presence? Most times, it's the same things for all of us. Here's four things. There's a number of them, but here's four that we're going to talk about today. One is a fear of man, you know, being kind of in bondage to others' opinions. Another is fatigue, just downright fatigue from just caring too much for too long, doing too much, trying to do it on your own strength. Another is frustration, when too many things come your way to the point where you're just turned around and you're so frustrated that it's hard to discern the big things from the small things, the important things from the urgent things. And the fourth thing is the fears of being afraid of your fears, fear of the future, fear of the unknown. So we're going to take these one at a time. And as I've been saying this week, this is kind of a spiritual reset day. And oftentimes at retreats, I'll do this on the Saturday night session. I ask women to come. And I know we have a lot of men listening, so I'm not going to ask you to come in your jammies. But I'm just saying, on a retreat, I'll say, come in your comfortable clothes, bring a pillow, bring your Bible, bring your journal. And we kind of have the lights down a little bit. And I teach for probably 5-10 minutes, and then I give a journaling assignment. And during that journaling assignment, first I just have the women sit back, listen to the words of a particular song that speaks to what I just spoke about. And then it goes into instrumental music, and that's their chance to write in their journal. So I'm going to do something similar, all right? So hang with me. If you're driving during the song, it's just a time for you to pray. But if you are in a place where you can open a notebook, open a journal, I pray that you will just sort of, you know, tuck in and sit back and allow this time to be a spiritual reset for you, all right? Now, because it's live radio, I can't go from a song to instrumental music because it'll sound like we're in an elevator, and I just can't do that. So I'm going to teach on a topic and speak to it a little bit, then we'll play a song. And if you are home journaling, just try to let that be a time where you just pour out your heart. And if you're driving, as I said, you can just be praying about the things that I'm talking about, okay? So here we go. We're going to talk about the first topic or issue that tends to get in the way of us just sensing God's love and His presence. And here it is. It's fatigue. And it's a great segue because you know what next week discipline is? I'm going to give you a front row peek. Next week, your physical discipline is sleep and rest. It's giving yourself 7 to 9 hours for bedtime. And I mean it. Okay, do I sound like a mother? Where you start to wind down and you read a book, you take a bath, whatever you do, so that you can get about an average of 8 hours each night. So you're going to give yourself time and space to rest. And then you're going to cultivate a heart at rest where you rest in His presence. So often we feel fatigued because, you know, Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. We get fatigued oftentimes from doing the things God never asked us to do, from going our own way, from doing things on our own strength. But that's not always the case. Sometimes we get fatigued from being right in the center of God's will. We're just battle weary. We're just tired. And so fatigue wears us out. We have to pay attention to our fatigue. And so the question that I want to ask you right now is, what pulls at you? What starts to make you tired and wears you out? Because the trap of the enemy is to make you feel like it's never enough and you're never enough. And if you can believe that God is not enough and that you're not enough, you'll get into striving because you'll be living out of your unbelief. Or the invitation is for you to believe. Jesus meant it when He said it is finished and He's more than enough for you. He's not looking for, to quote Beth Moore's prayer, He's not looking for perfection or performance. He's looking for faith. He knows you're not perfect, and He knows your offerings are imperfect. He loves you. He's taken with the idea of you. And so whatever you have in your hand, so if you're tempted towards worry, so you open your hands and you praise instead, I'm telling you what, that echoes into eternity, and it'll revive your soul. If you're tempted to be selfish, and there's a need in front of you, and God says, no, be unselfish. Trust me, I'll fill your hands again. And you give somebody your lunch, it's a miracle. And it echoes into eternity. And those are the kinds of things that revive our souls. Listen to this passage from Matthew 11, verses 29 and 30. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle of heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I love this from Psalm 23. This is the first three verses. I love this. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Listen to that. He guides you along right paths that are restful for you, peaceful, healing for you. And when you get healed, when you get your rest, it brings honor to his name. Why? Because this is a rat race culture. And so often we as Christians look the same, no different than a lost and dying world. So when you let him lead you beside still waters, when you let him restore your soul, it is for his name's sake. It's good for you, but it glorifies him. When we run, and we let ourselves be fatigued, and we do not steward our energy, we make mistakes. We lose heart. We lose perspective. Guess what else? We take costly shortcuts. And so we need to value our lives enough in Christ to see the sacredness of our yes and the sacredness of our no. Your yes matters and your no matters. And so if you're spread so thin that you're just getting by, I'm telling you what, friend, nothing matters more today than hitting the brakes and giving God time and space to speak to you. So here's your first assignment. As the song plays, this is a Christy Knuckles song. It's called You Revive Me. If you're driving in your car, just prayerfully think through the roles that you fill, the things that you put your time to, okay? And ask God, are you still blessing these? What are your time commitments? And ask the Lord, do you want to change anything? Invite him to look at your schedule, because there might be some things he called you to a year ago, 6 months ago, but the grace has lifted. And he's like, not anymore. I'm moving you on. And if you're sitting someplace with a journal, this is the time where you open up your journal and just take this song to write your time commitments out. Put your hand on that list and say, Lord, is this something you're still blessing? Here's a song from Christy Knuckles.
Myself to empty and pour off.
Beautiful song. If you just tuned in, I'm so glad you joined us. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're doing something a little different today, which I love about this show because the whole point is this deeper life living, really plumbing the depths of God's love and walking in a new level of faith. We're all about deeper life stuff here on Live the Promise. So this is really totally in our lane, but I just love that we can do things different like this. So this is something that I do on retreats every once in a while, and it's just an interactive devotional time. So if you just tuned in, we just addressed one issue that really tends to block our view of God and keep us from really sensing God's presence, and that's fatigue. And so what we're doing is I'm just going to do a little teaching on four of these types of points, and then we'll play a song, and I guess give you a journal exercise if you're someplace where you can open up a notebook and write down the things I'm telling you. But if you're driving, you know, as I give this journaling assignment, just take it to prayer instead. So what people just were doing is looking at their time commitments, writing them out, praying them through, saying, Lord, are you still blessing these? Well, the next obstacle that tends to block our view of God is the fear of man. Where we are more impacted by the praise of man and even the critique of man than we are by the power of God. When we're driven by anything other than the love of God. And scripture says in Proverbs 19:25, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trust in the Lord means safety. And another translation says, the fear of man is a snare, but the fear of God is freedom. So I want you just to hear this verse again. The translation that the fearing people, and that word translated fear is anxious care. That's a trap, and that is translated as enemy bait. So I want you to think about this. When we care way too much what people think of us, their approval or their critique, when we have an anxious care, like, I need that person to like me. I have to make sure that person understands me. I can't fall out of their favor. The Bible says that's a dangerous trap. And so the enemy knows our number, and he knows our weakness. So if we've taken God off the throne and put somebody and their opinion on the throne, suddenly when we have anxious care about what they think, the enemy's like, got it. Okay, I just need to set a trap then, and so I can pull this rug out from underneath them. And so we need to totally do a reset in this area and trust our souls once again to the Lord and trust our reputation to the Lord and trust our future. Your hope is not in your employer. Your hope is not in your spouse. Your hope isn't that your kids make you look good. Your hope is in the Lord. You love people, but you hope in God, right? And so when you fear God and you say, I can't control what you do, but I can control what I do, and I'm going to fear the Lord. I'm going to entrust my soul, my future, my finances, my country to the Lord. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to do what he says because I know he's going to do what he does. I'm telling you what, search scripture. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. God is near to the man who fears the Lord. He confides in those who fear him. When you're wise enough to be humble before him to say, I'm tempted, Lord, to care what that person thinks, but forgive me, Lord. I'm putting you on the throne again. I'm telling you what, something happens, God draws near. And so when you have anxious care, when someone is bigger to you than God's opinion, it is time for a reset. And this is from Ephesians 1, verses 17 to 23. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you and the riches of his glorious inheritance for his holy people. This same great power that raised Christ from the dead is available to you and to me. So on this next song, it's a Carrie Job song, My Beloved. If you're journaling, I want you to be able to write the names down of those whose opinions matter too much to you. And I want you to see those people at the cross in need of mercy next to you, right? And then write a prayer putting God back on the throne. So you ask God forgiveness. Show me, first of all, Lord, whose opinions have mattered too much. And this isn't to put them down. It's to put God up. So you honor them. You bless them. But you say, Lord, we all need mercy every day. Forgive me for elevating their opinion, whether it's negative or positive, above yours. Your opinion counts. And you're sold on the idea of me. You're my beloved, and I'm your beloved, and your banner over me is love. If you're driving, same thing. God, I pray, show my friend who's driving whose opinions matter more to them than yours. And just have a time of just repenting. Name these people and give them to God. Ask forgiveness, because it's you and me. We're the ones who do this. It's not their fault. We're the ones who cared too much about their opinion. This isn't about dishonoring them. You honor them. You honor God. But you put them in the rightful place, and you trust God more. Here's Carrie Job, My Beloved.
You're my beloved. Beloved, you're my bride. To sing over you is my delight. Come away with me, my love. Under my mercy,
song, Carrie Job. So this is a spiritual reset day, and I want to hear from you if this is helpful. We can do these more often if this is something that's helpful for you. But so we've addressed two topics, two issues that have that get in the way of us really sensing God's presence and just enjoying His love. His love never changes, but our experience of it does when we get all caught up in the rat race of life. So we've dealt with fatigue and the fear of others' opinions. And so the next song I'm going to play going out to break is Catherine Scott's song, Search Me and Know Me. So I want you to revisit these two issues, the fatigue and the fear of man. As this song plays, Search Me and Know Me, it's based out of Psalm 139. Try me and see if any worthless affection is hidden in me. I just dare you to ask God, do I need to change anything in my heart, in my life? Is there any adjustments I need to make so that I'm not on overdrive feeling exhausted all the time? Adjustments in my life so that person doesn't have so much power over my identity, right? And so this is just time, just enjoy. If you're driving, just pray, God, speak to my heart. Search me and show me any adjustments I need to make, because I trust me on this. He wants you to live full and free in an abundant, abundant life. Okay, this is Search Me and Know Me. Just pray along. You'll love it. Here we go.
Search me, know me, try me and see every worthless
Love that song, Search Me and Know Me. Try me and see if any worthless affection is hidden in me. So good, I think, to pause every once in a while and just do that spiritual reset. Give God access, time, space, permission to search your heart so that you can make any adjustments necessary so you can live the whole and free life God has for you. Next, we're going to deal with frustrations and just our everyday fear. So don't go away. This is Live the Promise. More spiritual reset to come. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. This is a spiritual reset. We're just taking some time talking about some topics that tend to block our view of God or our sense of His presence. And then just after I do a little teaching on each topic, we play a song and give you time just to pray through the very thing I'm talking about. So if you just tuned in, we've addressed the issue of fatigue and how that gets in the way of us feeling and sensing God. And sometimes you just need to stop and reset, take a look at your schedule, maybe give yourself more time to sleep at night, because we take costly shortcuts when we're tired. We lose perspective when we're tired, and that enemy knows it. So there's something about stewarding our yes and our no and getting back some ground so you can get your legs back under you again. We talked about the fear of others' opinions and how that can drain the life right out of us. And the reset there is to just ask God, show me whose opinions matter more than they should in my life, their critique or their praise, and you put God back in His rightful place. So this third one is frustration. And what I mean by this is when that enemy comes at you from every single angle, there's so many things going wrong, you're spun around. I actually have a friend going through that right now and wonders, what next? How much more can I handle? And if you listen often enough, you know, I've come through a season like that in this last year. One thing after another, you know, there were some good things, and good things can be a good stress, and it's still stress, but released a book, shot a 6-session DVD. My dad died. My mother-in-law died. My son got married. I was traveling in 6 states in 5 weekends. In the midst of that, had this wretched, wretched computer problem. And you know, I get lots of emails and Facebook messages anyway. Every 3 days, the floodgates would open and thousands of emails from the past few years would flood my inbox and mix in with my current emails. And this would happen. I would get them all cleaned up. And a week later, 5,000 emails. And one day, 20,000 emails came in and I basically broke down and cried. I was having insomnia terribly. And then at these events, these 6 events, I'm not kidding you. Every single event, one restaurant after another, served me the wrong meal when I have all these food allergies, where they got my food mixed up with someone. At every event, I ended up curled up in a ball in the hotel room, holding my gut, sweating, and just feeling miserable. And so I was exhausted from not sleeping. I was sick and tired of my gut hurting. I wanted to throw my computer out the window, just feeling people pulling on me from every angle. I was just exhausted and so frustrated. And I was being spun around so many ways, and that I couldn't get my legs under me. I'd forgotten who I was, and I was losing sight of who God was, because I just was almost to the point where I was covering my head. And John 10:10 says this: the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you have life and life abundantly. So that enemy is after us. He wants to take what's ours. But Jesus says, I come that you have life. Here's another passage. And this was the one that helped me get my legs under me. And you've heard me teach on this before, maybe. James 4:7 says this: submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, the word submit in that verse is translated. It's a military term. And you know what it means? It means to get back in rank. So when you're out of rank, you forget that God is good. When you're out of rank, you get ahead of God. So we are out of rank when we get offended with God, when we think he should be giving us more than we actually have. We get out of rank when we refuse to forgive somebody else, when we undermine authority, when we choose to be cruel, when we let people walk all over us because we don't think we're valuable, when we judge others, when we trust ourselves more than God, when we withhold resources that belong to God and to his work. And so, or maybe we think God should give us something sooner than he's giving it, so we try to take it for ourselves. So imagine a private in an army, and he wants to be a general, and he thinks he should be a general, but he's not yet. He hasn't climbed up through the ranks. So he gets out of rank to take things into his own hands. Suddenly he's in danger because he's out of rank. When we get out of step with God, we are in danger, and then we are sitting ducks for that enemy. So you want that enemy to quit bugging you? You submit. You get back in rank. So first and foremost, you submit yourselves to God. And then you resist the devil, and he has to flee from you. So John 10:10 talks about that. The devil goes after us to steal, kill, and destroy. He's like a roaring lion. He's waiting. He wants to chase us down and make us run for our lives. And you know what? When we get back in rank and we remember who we are and whose we are, suddenly we have authority. Luke 10 says this. Jesus said, I have given you all authority over all the power of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you. So God has given us authority when we are in rank. So get back in rank, then take authority. Because then, as James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and then he flees from you. So first he's running after you, hoping you'll run for your life. But you stop. You humble yourself before God. You ask his forgiveness for the ways that you've gotten out of rank, gotten ahead, gotten an attitude, whatever your thing is. And then you stand up to that enemy and you say, you got to leave me alone now. And then guess who's running for his life? It says he will flee from you. That translated is him running for his life. Imagine that. So listen to this. A private in the army of God in rank, humbly submitted to God, has far more authority and power in his life than a wannabe general out of rank. And so if you're in that place of being spun around by your frustrations, where all you're doing now is reacting and you're just so frustrated, it gets in the way of us seeing that God is wisely good and that he's good to us. And we have some authority in this storm. There's some things we can't do anything about, but other things we can. So first and foremost, remember, God wants you to have an abundant life. The devil wants to rob you blind. So you submit to God. You check out your attitudes. You submit to him. And then you stand up and you resist that enemy. And he will try to escape with his life. We are powerful when we're in rank. We're vulnerable when we're out of rank. And this is a message paraphrase from Romans 12:1-2. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking about it. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and then quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. He develops well-formed maturity in you. All right, so this song, Sovereign by Chris Tomlin, this is just a reminder that he is God Most High, that there's no problem that you face, that his authority isn't just greater, higher, better still. And so there might be things in you, in your frustration, and there are seasons that are just so frustrating. The dryer breaks, the washer breaks, the car breaks down, you know, the dentist bill, whatever. It comes at you from all angles, and the temptation is to cover your head and to hunker down. But you belong to God. So this is where you go, Lord, check my attitudes. I'm going to get these checked out, and I'm going to humble myself. And then you rise up and go, okay, devil, you don't get to do this to me anymore. And you get your footing again. This is a reminder that he's sovereign. So if you're journaling right now, your assignment is to submit to God and then to resist the devil and tell him to flee. So just, again, be searching your heart. If there are attitudes, unforgiveness, impatience, that stuff that's sort of gotten into your heart, remember, the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. Well, we stop guarding it with all diligence when we're covering our head. You got to have your shield up. You got to have your sword out. And you do that when you remember who you are and whose you are. So you're just going to write a prayer. If you're driving, just be praying. And Lord, I'm going to submit my attitude and to your timing. Whatever you have for me, yours is best for me. And then you're going to stand up against that enemy and say, by the authority of Christ in me, back off. And so here's a Chris Tomlin song, Sovereign.
Sovereign in the mountain air, sovereign on the ocean floor, with me in the calm, with me in the storm. Sovereign in my greatest joy, sovereign in my deepest cry, with me in the dark, with me at the dawn. I can't.
Good stuff. Great music. Isn't it great music? This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. We're doing a spiritual reset today. It's kind of like a mini retreat. So if you're driving your car, hoping you're still really just sensing God is with you, speaking to you. And we're talking about four things that tend to block our view of God, tend to kind of quench the sense that God is with us, that he loves us. So we've addressed fatigue. We've addressed fear of man and fear of others' opinions. We've addressed frustrations where you got it coming at you from so many angles. How do you get your footing? You can get your footing, right? And then the fourth one is just kind of being afraid of our fears, where our fears, it might be fear of the future, fear that you're going to fail, just fears. The enemy uses fear so often. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind." And the word fear in that translation is cowardice. So hear this again. For God has not made us cowards. He's not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power. And the word power is translated inherent power, power in forces, power in numbers, moral power, and an excellence of soul. So I want you to think about this. Another verses, 1 Corinthians 4:20, and it says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." So I want you to think about this now. God has not given you a spirit of cowardice. He's not made you to be a coward. He's given you power in your soul, power in moral excellence, power in the sheer numbers that are for you and not against you. You've got power on your side. So no matter how real your circumstances feel, God's word and his promises are absolutely truer still. In 2 Peter 1:4, it says he's given us these very great and precious promises. Why? So that through them, we can participate in the divine nature of Christ. I think it was A.W. Tozer who said, if it's true that the very power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us, we should be some of the most amazing people on the planet. Okay, so this is not a should do and ought to, but this is the reality. This is a get to. It's an invitation to participate in the divine nature of Christ. So the challenge then is to face down your fears. So if you're looking, we hear the news and you're looking at the economy and in your fear, you're wanting to pull back, you must know, friend, that is from the enemy, because we don't operate on an earthly economy. We operate on a kingdom economy. God's promises are as true now as they ever were. And so let's say you're tempted to stop tithing. I'm challenging you, step up your tithing, because his promises are true. And to quote Dr. Richard Swenson, who was on earlier this week, he says, we are running in two parallel universes. In the spiritual universe, the spiritual reality is actually more real than the physical one. And so he said, a step here is a step there. So what we do here echoes there. And so if you're afraid about finances, I'm telling you what, instead of pulling back in fear, make the enemy sorry he made you afraid and step up in faith. I would say give more. I dare you to start raising your tithe, $5, $10 a week or whatever that God is telling you to. I dare you to find a ministry that's feeding the poor. Send $10, $15, $20, whatever it is you can. But kind of put a flag in the ground saying, I'm not going to be bullied by my fears. I'm going to step up in faith. Maybe your temptation is to be selfish and make a super comfortable life for yourself so you can be insulated from all the suffering out there. Well, you know, God does give good gifts to us. But I challenge you, instead of hunkering down, step out in faith. And go acquaint yourself with a suffering that's not your own and give to somebody who has less than you. Face down your fears. If you're afraid to go back to school because you're afraid you'll fail, go anyway. You know, you look at David, he faced down Goliath. David was a boy, but he had these stones. And these stones represent the truth of God. And so whatever lie that enemy is coming at you with, there's a truth from God's word that will knock that thing out. Right? And so find the truth that corresponds with your fear and stand up, rise up. So we're going to play, I don't know if we'll have time for both songs, but we'll start with this one. And it is it Be Still? Yes, sorry about that. Be Still, Carrie Job. And this is just to quiet your heart from your fears and remember that he is God.
He is here for the broken, life to the one who isn't dead. He is peace to the wounded, and hope for the helpless one. He is here, he is here. Be still, my soul, be still. Be still, my soul, be still. Wait patiently upon the Lord. Be still, my soul, be still. Wait patiently upon the Lord. Be still.
Stuff. I'll tell you what, when I'm afraid, I'll put on a song like this and I'll sit back and I'll just take in a deep breath, just soak in those words, telling my soul to be still. And then I'll say, Lord, I'm afraid. Show me what's true. You know, we just have to make time and space to get with God, to hear from Him. Jesus says, my people, my sheep, they know my voice. They know what I sound like. The more you spend time with them, you'll get to know what his voice sounds like, and he'll speak truth that cuts right through the lie for you. And so the enemy will bully us all day long with our fears until we know how to submit to God. Remember, get back in rank, stand up, resist the devil, he'll flee. And when those fears rise up, we can make them stand down. So we've talked about fatigue. We've talked about the fear of others' opinions. We've talked about those frustrations that spin us around so much we don't even know which way is up. And then we talked about just our fears, our everyday fears. And each of us has our own trigger points that enemy can use fear as a motivator to get us to make choices in reaction to the fear and not in faith. I'm going to wrap up today by talking about the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14:26 says this, in the fear of the Lord, there's a strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. Okay, in the fear of the Lord, that translation there is yirah. What that means is revered, respected, awe. Awesome and terrifying, but awesome and terrifying go together. So there's a reverence and a respect. There's an awe. It's awesome and terrifying. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So in that verse, when there's no fear in love, that kind of fear is a phobos fear, and that's strike terror, dread, a fear of coming judgment. So I want you to think about it. An abused son has a phobos fear of his dad. It's this terrified dread. A loved son has a yirah fear for his dad. It's a healthy respect for his papa. When you come to the Lord, you got to remember who he is and who it is you serve, who you're coming to. And I think we lose sight of his love when we lose sight of his power. We can't have such a casual approach to him. We forget who it is that he is. And Hebrews 12 really tells us so clearly, when you come to him, you have not come to something that you can feel, to a blazing fire, to darkness, to gloom, or to a storm, to a trumpet's blast, and to a voice. When your ancestors heard that voice, they begged not to hear it or say another word. They couldn't obey the command that was given. Instead, you've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to the tens of thousands of angels joyfully gathered together, and to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to a judge, the God of all people, and to the spirits of people who have God's approval and who have gained eternal life. Therefore, we must be thankful that we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Because we are thankful, we must serve God with fear and awe in a way that pleases him. After all, our God is a consuming fire. So listen, anything that ails you, troubles you, overwhelms you, it cannot destroy you. It can only train you. Because every battle God allows in our life is a winnable one, all right? We're going to wrap up with one more song before I wrap up the show for the day. And I'm going to pick a different one, if you don't mind. Whole Heart, how about that, Matt? Every part That you were encouraged today, talking about fatigue, frustrations, fear of others' opinions, and just afraid of our fears. It's time for a spiritual reset. You just get into God's presence and say, Lord, remind me again what is true. I pray today's show is deeply a blessing and encouragement to you. Don't go away. We've got more of Live the Promise up next, Hour 2.